Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
Well, this morning, I'm going to preach a message that when I say the title, you're going to immediately think, I've heard that before, and I've heard it 100 times in this church. In other words, it's not a message that you have not heard, but I want to challenge you to hear it with a different ear today. Because you've heard someone preach this if you haven't heard me preach on it. And so I want you to know I've never shared it the way that I'm getting ready to share it today. And I'm going to talk some about giving. And I've preached giving for the entirety of this church. I will never forget a Wednesday night, one of the first Wednesday nights that Tim Brooks ever visited Christian Ministries Church. And he came on a Wednesday, and we had only had a few Wednesdays before he was there. And he came in and said, right there in front of everybody in our congregation, all 15 of us, he said, you're not receiving an offering on Wednesday night? And I said, or tithe an offering or give an opportunity for giving or for nothing? No, we're not. And he goes, what kind of preacher are you? And I thought, I could be offended by that or I could hear what he's saying. You're not going to give God's people the opportunity to do what he's asked them to do. You've messed this thing up. From the very beginning, I want you to know I have never preached this message with a heart of receiving an offering to pay all the bills. I've preached the message of giving for what it does for God's people. And so the title of the message that I want to talk about today is Don't Rob God. Don't rob God. I believe that this passage in Malachi has not been totally understood for years, and I will go and tell you the first one to tell you that is especially by me. I've been preaching it for 15 to 20 years, and over this last year, God has revealed even more. Isn't it neat how you hear a scripture, and over your life, God just continues to show you more and more from it, and that's what he's done here. Malachi 3, I was just going to read it to you and then tell you about what my heart is on this. But I've got to tell you, so you can see it as we read the passage and not think about it just from the legality of it and the way it's been presented many times. And so when I say the words, don't rob God, I don't mean by you keeping your tithe and your tithe belongs to him, so you're robbing God of money. And I have taught it like that for 15 years. I just... Over the last year, God has made this verse way bigger to me. I personally don't think God needs our money. And everybody in here would say that. So if he doesn't need our money, then how are you robbing him? See, you don't think that. I don't think that. And here's what he has said to me in Malachi 3. And that's what I want to talk about today in this message. You could put some words right after the three words of don't rob God, and you could say it like this: don't rob God of an opportunity to bless you. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but just over the last year, I thought, wow, I've got to teach this bigger than I heard. See, I think he's saying to you today, you're robbing me of an opportunity to bless you. I get really frustrated when I go out with people who want to pay for my meal all the time. I don't know about you, but somebody pays for me every time I go out with them. I got to pay for a meal. Or you get with somebody who's going to argue about who's going to pay. Darren and Sherry are the world's worst. Never, ever will they let you pick. I mean, they're just going to grab that. They're going to try to hide. This week, we went out with our staff because there was no school, and we went out to have lunch, and I'm going to pay for it, and next thing I know is they tell me at the counter it's already been taken care of. What? Who took care of it? It was taken care of. They weren't going to tell me. And so then I see Justice walk right up beside me and he's getting his credit card. What are you doing? Why are you paying for my meal? And he just wanted to bless us. And I thought, well, he's not in the financial position or the season of life to be blessing me. So but I had to fight everything. What do you say? I know. And so I'm sitting here thinking, what is he doing? And I had to fight everything in me not to say, wait a minute here. What he just did is exactly what God's talking about to us. Don't rob me of an opportunity to bless you. And that was what he was saying. He didn't say that because I didn't argue with him, but Darren says that all the time to me. Don't mess with my blessing. Don't mess with my, wait a minute here. That's my words. So we were arguing about who's going to get blessed. No, let me bless. I want the blessing. I want you to have it. And then it becomes, anyway. What God is saying is I want to bless you. I'd like to open the windows of heaven over you and pour out a blessing on you. See, I'd like to rebuke the devourer for you, but because you won't do it the way I've asked you to, you're robbing me of a blessing. I don't know if you've ever read scripture that way. So let's just read it now that you understand what I'm talking about. In Malachi 3:8, it says, will a man rob God? Malachi 3:8, will a man, I'm going to read this in the New King James Version. If you don't have that, you may just listen to me. I know I usually teach out of the New Living Translation, but I like the way it says it here and the way I learned it as a child and the way I learned it when God started speaking to me about this is in Malachi 3, verse 8. The word says, will a man rob God? As a question mark. Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. Even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Now, if we think about this, and we'll just see the way that I'm seeing it is, will a man rob God of an opportunity for God to bless him? And they do it all the time. Yet you have robbed me. Now just say, you've robbed me, God is saying, of opportunities to bless you. I'm just saying that I think this is another unfolding of what this means for you to say, in what way have we robbed you of opportunities to bless us? We've robbed you in not doing what you ask. In other words, the whole reason God came up with the concept of tithing was not to support the work of his kingdom. And I will go on record to say that years ago, that was my understanding of this. And I think to a degree, I have missed this. It was not to support the work of his kingdom, because if he needed to, he could have ravens do that. See, if he can bring water out of a rock, do you not think he could bring money out of whatever he needs it out of? He could have brought manna from heaven. He could have had quail fly in and land right in your lap. So God does not need tithing to support his work. He didn't invent tithing for his benefit. He invented tithing for our benefit as an opportunity to bless us. And God is saying, so because you haven't given my offerings, in verse 9, you're cursed with a curse. See, you haven't given my offerings. So then you see in verse 9, you're under a curse instead of a blessing. You could have had a blessing, but now you've put yourself under a curse. And I don't want you to be under a curse, for you've robbed me. Now let's think about it. You've robbed me of an opportunity to bless you. And when you're robbed of an opportunity of a blessing, then wouldn't that be that you're under a curse? Sure. Even this whole nation. I've never seen what I'm seeing right now in the United States of America like I'm seeing. And I'm thinking, what a time for this message. If we, the church, are going to see ourselves under the vision that God has called this church to this year as essential, then we have to understand the significance of the tithe. Even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Now, I want you to watch this. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Why? So there may be food in my house. Now, I want to ask you a question. You just stop for a moment. Do you like CMC? I'm so grateful for this church and the churches that I know, and I listen to a lot of the pastors that are in our circle. Many great churches across this nation with great teaching. Churches that are fed the Word of God, uncompromised. And so I ask you if you like that the Word comes out, and sometimes I'm telling you, it's like, woo-hoo, woo-hoo, I didn't like that one. I didn't really want to hear that. So one of the things we love about CMC is it's an uncompromised word. We're going to talk about it. We're going to say it as the Bible says and as God gives revelation. And God chose me and God chose other pastors and God chose teachers in this congregation to bring his word and allow the word to bring revelation. If he's the word, he's going to bring revelation of his word as it's brought about by his people. And prayerfully, it's not dry, boring, and dull. I was told last night by someone that they had only had 9 hours of sleep over the last 3 days. And I said, I'm going to make sure that tomorrow's not boring. That's going to be my goal. And so I'm being really careful that I don't bore anybody today with this. I want you to understand the point behind the word. See, if we get that we're to bring the tithes into the storehouse, then we have to understand that one of the reasons why we have great food here at CMC is because we have a lot of tithers here at CMC. One of the things I can tell you is during the pandemic, our tithers were faithful, which meant that they continued to be walking in the blessing, even in the middle. Oh, wait, but we didn't skip a beat with the church. That's not the point. The point is that you didn't remove yourself from the blessing. What we want to hear here is we want to hear God's word, and we want to hear a touch from the Holy Spirit on God's word. And I don't know how many times you've been in this church or a church where God has allowed the word to come forth and you're like, wow, I don't know if I've ever really looked at it that way. And it's just like divine revelation is the word. And here's what he says in Malachi, bring the tithe into the storehouse. Let me just give you some revelation of this that you may have heard and you may not. The storehouse always applies to and refers to the local church. Always. Well, I tithe to this. No, no, no. You tithe to the local church. And if you're hearing this message on podcast, I'm not saying that for the benefit of CMC. I'm saying it for the benefit of your family. The tithe goes into the storehouse. Well, why is that important? Because there needs to be food in my house. His house is the embodiment of the church. And I'm going to say it another way. He wants the tithe to be brought to the church so that the food that you're going to get at the church you go to is going to impact your life. And you say, wow. Really good. Really good. And it's not because we were able to turn the lights on. When he calls something to happen, he's going to make it happen. But when you're looking for him to not be robbed, you're keeping him from robbing you of the blessing that he has for you. See, it's just another opportunity for him to bless you. Then you jump down to verse 10. He says, and try. Try also means prove. And the way that you prove metal is you test it. And metal's referred to a lot of times. Test me in this, some scriptures, some translations say. Test me in this, God says, then I'd open the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there's not going to be room for you to receive it. In other words, you'll be able to give more because of what I put into you. It's just a circle effect. It's just, see, if you'll just do, try me in this. And so you give, and as you give, God goes right into, I don't know if that's the same, but something, into your life in so many areas, even bigger than just plain old money. And then it goes right on around, and you're like, wow, I can't believe what's happening. I've talked to countless people. I can't believe what's happening in our business. It doesn't make any sense to me at all, but man, God's just blessing our business. Well, I can always tell you that that's in relation to his word. You'll be able to give more. You'll have, when you have the rebuke of the devourer off of you. So three words help me and convince me that this is what God is saying. Because as he said, you've robbed me. Don't rob God. He's not saying, you've got to hear this morning, that he's hurting and he's running out of gold and silver. If you rob me, I'm not going to have enough gold for the streets of heaven for when you get here. That's not at all what he's talking about. He's saying you're robbing me of a blessing. And he says this, and to prove it to you, I'll rebuke the devourer. He doesn't say for the kingdom's sake. He says, I'm going to do it for you. And I was like, why have I not just preached this for 15 years? It's just like, this is so real. He doesn't say for the kingdom's sake. In verse 10, he says, for you. In verse 11, for you. Well, what would be for you? A blessing. A blessing for you. I'll rebuke the devourer for you, so that he won't destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field. The vine would represent your business. Whatever business you're in, it won't fail to bear fruit, says God. I can real quick tell you the first thing that I help anybody when they come to talk to me about business matters is we've got to first address the tithe. Because you can't have the rebuke in your life and expect to profit. You're just not going to. You're asking for something that God said, you need the rebuking of the devourer. Another way to say it, according to what I'm saying, is because you've given me the opportunity to bless you, one of the blessings is you're not going to have a devourer on you. Here's what your blessing is. In fact, I'm going to pour it out on you. I'm going to pour it out. Have you ever had anything poured on you? Sometimes when you have it poured on you, you're like, what are you doing? But when you have something poured on you, you've got this illustration of there's nothing I can do to get it from now. It's soaking me. It's all over me. And see, you keep doing, God says, what I've asked you to do, then you can't keep from me doing what I said I'd do. Everyone is drawn to seeing the way that God does it. Therefore, everyone will call you blessed. I used to get a kick out of this, but I'd be around some friends of mine, and they would say this all the time. Yeah, Ashley, he can fall in cow manure and come out smelling like a rose. I've heard that said about our life. I mean, I had two or three friends. You just always. And all I can tell you is, you're right. Because I've understood a principle from the Word. And as I get that principle deeper, I've done it without the complete understanding. But now, as I get more of an understanding, it just reinforces why I come out smelling like a rose. And it's not just me. It's God's people who get this concept. He's no respecter of person. It'll work for you. And I don't care what season you're in, you can be justice and pay for everybody's meal at the table. How in the world does that happen? Because he's faithful and understands this concept. I figured out a principle years ago, and Michelle and I have really, really worked hard on this. I've just learned a great joy in giving and not giving to get. Just the joy of giving. Now, in the process, I figured out this principle that the more we gave, the more I'm like, where did this come from? How did this happen? And we give more. And I've told this story for years here, but I've never shared this story I'm getting ready to share. Because this is just an illustration of this. Michelle and I, when we had a heart years ago to start a camp by the ranch, we did that with the intent of feeding into young people and allowing young people to feed into other young people. You know, the next season up would feed into the ones under them. And so we had this heart for all of this, but it cost a lot of money to put on a camp. I mean, just having them live here and buying bunks for everybody, I mean, you just wouldn't believe the cost of that. And it was a vision that Michelle and I had to use our land to benefit young people. And so we wanted as many people to come, and I didn't want cost to be a reason they didn't come, but we had to charge because of the cost of food, and we just didn't. How are we going to do all this? And we want to do all of this. And God impressed upon my heart that there are going to be some young people who can't come. And so when they can't come, Michelle and I talked. We were already givers. We had given away, I mean, we had understood the principle of giving to the point where we've given away cars. That's just something that was in our heart to give because it's just plain old money and God will bring it another way. And every time we do that, we'd be like, wow, I can't believe what just happened here. And then we would be in a season where we could do even more. Well, we had been in a place to where God had blessed us immensely. We still had our kids at home. I have a hard time, and we had a hard time moving in the season of our kids leaving our home. But God helped me overcome that when I realized how much more money would be coming into our possession when you didn't have to pay for all their accessories. Here's what he laid on our hearts while our kids were at home and they watched this. We would find out that there was a struggle for young people to be able to come. And so Michelle and I, when we found out that someone couldn't pay, we started paying their way. We said, we'll take care. We'll just take. Somebody took care of that. Well, that somebody was always us at the beginning. It was always us. I mean, we found out, and so we would go to this family, and we'd say, somebody took care of that. And I was in a lot of ways lying to them because I was the somebody, but that's what we would do, and we just thought they can't miss what God's going to do in their life here. So I've got to pay for that. And so we just cover their cost. And I remember one camper specifically that I found out couldn't afford to come. And I just found out about it, that they weren't going to be able to come because they just couldn't afford it. And I had talked to Michelle and I just said, okay, well, we'll just take care of it. Or she said, I don't remember who said what. Sometimes it was her, sometimes it was me. And one thing we've never thought about is when we wanted to give. If she had it on her heart to give, we were going to give. If I had it on my heart, she's like, yeah, you bet. So when we were talking about this, and I don't remember who it was, but I was going to go talk to them and say, it's been covered. And I remember just like that, God said, don't do it. And I wrestled with God over that. What do you mean? Don't get it. And I had to come back and tell Michelle. I said, we can't do this. And I said, oh God, why don't you want me to do it? I mean, I just, like he said, don't do this. And I was wrestling. What, God? Okay, God, I'm not going to cover this young person's camp. But it's on you when they don't come to know you. I mean, I don't know what to do here, but I'm not going to cover their camp because I can afford it, but I know I heard you. And so I didn't do anything. And the next Sunday at church, and it's somebody that's in this congregation still to this day, came up to me and said, hey, God impressed upon my heart this week to cover someone's camp, and I don't know who it is. And I'm just telling you, I'm like, God, okay, I get it. What I've been doing is robbing other people of the opportunity to pour that blessing out on someone. And it just hit me like, I still remember it. And over the last however many years that we've seen it pass then, I haven't came out and begged, but I've always been careful to say, it's amazing how God, I don't want anybody not going because they can't afford it. And we've got people in this congregation that steps up and says, their camp is going to be covered. Now, Michelle and I didn't quit helping, but God just said, you know what? I've got it all planned out. And my picture's way bigger than you. I give when God speaks. I give where God speaks. And I give what God speaks. And I would give based on God speaking. And I knew that person needed to receive. And I knew that they needed to go to camp. So I knew where. But I didn't always get the what. What was God saying? Okay, so there were other times that then Michelle and I would go, okay, this one we believe we ought to do $50 for. Well, the cost of camp's a lot more. And we would just believe God. And I'm telling you, someone else would receive the same blessing that we were. And there's many here that have covered young people for different things. And see, there are three opportunities I just want to give to you this morning in Scripture, three categories of opportunity for you to have the blessing of God opened upon you. The first one is tithes, and we've been talking about that. See, I believe when we tithe, we give God the opportunity to bless us. Joshua 6 is when they're going into the promised land, and they reach the first city. The first city was Jericho. Remember the city of Jericho in Scripture. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but in Joshua 6, verse 18 and 19, let me just tell you what it says. It says, do not take any of the things set apart for destruction, or you yourselves will be completely destroyed, and you'll bring trouble on the camp of Israel. In verse 19, everything made from silver, gold, bronze, or iron is sacred to the Lord and must be brought into his treasury. In other words, in the King James Version, it says there'll be a curse. In the New Living, there's destruction on you when you take what is not yours. See, there are certain things that are set apart. And the things that were set apart here were going to make the camp of Israel troubled if God's people took them. That same principle applies to your life today. I think he's trying to say there's a curse if you take what's set apart that's not yours. This is not yours. So all the silver, gold, vessels of bronze and iron instead were consecrated. They were set apart. They were set aside. And they were set aside to the Lord's house, to his treasury. They were set apart for him because they were his. And they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Okay, he's referring right now to the tithe because they go to the house of God. The tithe is always the first 10%, not the last 10%. It doesn't take faith to give the last 10%. It takes faith to give the first 10%. And it says that we put God first. See, the principle of the first is the tithe. I've preached this 100 times, and I'm just going to preach it briefly right now. The firstborn represents this, the first. The first fruits in Deuteronomy 26, the first fruits represent this. Jesus is God's firstborn. He is God's first fruit, and so Jesus is God's tithe. He gave Jesus before we repented. Jesus was before our repentance. He gave Jesus with his expectation of what was to come. Wow. This is what the tithe is. So that's what he's saying here. He's saying, give me an opportunity to bless you by you giving of your first. That's what I did. And I, God, have received a blessing because I tithed Jesus, and look what it produced, my relationship with you. And so as we were singing that song, Jesus today, Jesus and just his name, I thought, wow, do you think God is pleased by hearing us say, oh, I love you, Jesus? So it's Jericho, the first city in the promised land. And when they took what belonged to God, they took the opportunity away from God to bless them, and they lost the next battle. Boy, you see this in Scripture, you're like, good grief. It's all over. He was saying, if you'll give me the first, then it gives me an opportunity to bless you on the first and then everything after that. And it gives me the opportunity. See, every time you get paid, the first is his. It's consecrated. It's set apart. It's brought to the house of the Lord, his treasury. And here's the thing. It's cursed when it stays in your tent. But do you see that in Scripture? Yeah, it's all over. Here's the second thing. If you're keeping count, there's three. We're right in the middle. Number two, the offering. Now look back at Malachi 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God, yet you've robbed me? But you say, in what way? And then it says, in tithes and offerings. I want to talk about this for just a minute. The tithe belongs to God. Leviticus 27, all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land, the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It's the Lord's in Hebrew. That means it belongs to God. He's God's property. It is holy. It's set apart to the Lord. Okay, everybody gets this. So the tithe belongs to God. Now, I want you to understand, I know, and I know that you know, that God owns it all. But he set apart a specific amount. And when you keep that amount, you have robbed God of the blessing, but I also believe you've robbed him of what's his. So I'm not going to take that principle out, but I think you need to get the big picture. But there's a twofold robbing that this is talking about. See, it said the tithe and the offerings. And I've never been able to reconcile these two. These two words, that didn't make sense to me, because it says you've robbed me, and they said, in what ways? Well, the answer was in the tithes and offerings. Okay, how do you rob God in offerings when they don't belong to him? Just talking here. Well, I know all belongs to him. That's not what it's talking about here. We return the tithe because it belongs to him, and it's the first. So we return the tithe because it's not ours. And if we keep it in our tent, it's consecrated, and we're keeping that which is God's. So we return the tithe, but we give of free will an offering. And God even uses the word free will several times. Before you see the word offering, you'll see the word free will. Have the people bring a free will offering. That means it's all based on you. Okay. You explain to me how you rob God in offerings. I get that. And I'll tell you how I have seen this over the last year explode in my mind. The only way you could rob him of an offering is if you robbed him of the blessing that the offering produced for you. See, the only way this passage makes sense is when God put the two words on there, and offerings, tithe and offerings. I get that you can rob God of what's his, but the offering is yours to give of your free will. And there's a blessing. So the second point is, in the offering, there's a blessing that comes along that you're robbing God of. You're not robbing God of the money of the offering. You're robbing him of the blessing that comes to you. Are you getting this? Yeah. See, that? Then all of a sudden this last year, because I've always struggled with that, how can you rob God of an offering? And here at Christian Ministry Church, we have seed pots right here at the front, and that's where we put our offering. We give you an opportunity to give of an offering, to give of an offering. Where we rob God is in the tithe of what's his. What you rob him right now in the offering is you rob him of the blessing of the offering. Now, Have you robbed God? My message titles don't rob him. But you've got to take this as not a command from Ashley. Because it's not my command. It's the thing, don't rob God of a blessing that he wants to bestow upon you. The only way this passage makes sense to me. See, one is the tithes, but also the offering. It's the giving of an offering. You may not know this, but this is really good preaching. Please hear me. I have no reason to preach to you about giving. I have none. Why? Because it's your free will to do what you want. The blessing doesn't come upon the church. The blessing comes into your life being able to receive the word based on the tithe. And so we understand some of this, that it just, wow, it explodes in a way bigger picture. And well, Pastor, but if we'd all be givers at the church could expand. I don't want the church to expand unless God says the church needs to expand. See, when God says you need to go to the next level, and I've been guilty of wanting to take it without God. I'll be the first to tell you. But it's going to have to be God's will for the church to expand. It won't expand. Now, in that, I'm ready when he says go. And I only want to do what God wants us to do. I preached on giving with one motive in my heart, and that has never changed. It's to bless God's people. And I'm telling you, many, many people that know me and know my heart would confirm what I'm saying. When you give, talking about an offering, you give God an opportunity to bless you. Here's the other thing. You give yourself an opportunity to see and live God's heart. And a lot of people never get God's heart because they're selfish in their thinking. So tithes and offerings, here's number three. Oh, we made it, number three. Sacrificial offerings. There are many, many sacrificial offerings in Scripture. And I'm just going to throw out a couple here. David gave a very sacrificial offering to build a temple for Solomon to build a temple. I mean, David set aside, if you take it into the valuation of today's money, most people will tell you, as they've studied this and all different theologians of the word, will say that David gave about $21 billion in today's money. That's a lot even for a king. I mean, you got to think about this. $21 billion today. There's a woman in Scripture who anointed Jesus right before he was crucified, and Jesus said, she anointed my body for burial, but she did it with 1 year's wage of perfume. 1 year's wage. Just think about it. You're doing taxes right now. If you're not, you should be. You will be here briefly. But 1 year's wage being spent on perfume, that's a sacrificial offering. A year's wage. So when we're talking about offering, I'm not talking about coming up and throwing $5, $20, even $100 based on the wages of today, or a couple hundred in a seed pot, or on Wednesday nights when we receive an offering. That's a free will offering that you have chose to say, I want to invest my money in the kingdom to receive what God said in his word that I didn't want to be robbed of. He doesn't want to be robbed of the blessing he wants to pour out on you. So I'm talking about an offering that's sacrificial now. Abraham willing to offer his son. Now that's a sacrifice. And of course God stopped him because he didn't require something like that. But he tested his heart and he gave an opportunity for God to bless him. Here's the greatest sacrificial offering. God offered his son. Was that not a sacrifice? Let me show you one sacrificial offering that you may think, yeah, there's one more. Mark 12 and verse 41. If you're there, you want to turn there, that's fine. If you want to listen, you might not have thought about this sacrificial offering, and you may not even remembered it. Mark 12, verse 41. Jesus sat down near the collection box. Jesus sat down near the collection. Can you imagine him sitting down right here? Okay, I'm just going to sit down right here by the collection box. Come on up. And he's watching you as you're walking down the aisle. And he's watching you come up and you're like, he has not changed. He is the same today, yesterday, and forever. Here's Jesus. He's watching you. Oh, man, I didn't want to. You watch me, Jesus. See, how are you looking at that? I don't want it. I want him watching what I'm doing. Jesus sat down near the collection box. Okay, are you getting this story? In the temple and watched as the crowds dropped in their money. Many rich people put in large amounts. Then a poor widow came and dropped in two small coins. Jesus calls his disciples to him and said, I tell you the truth. This poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus. But she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. Everything. Say everything. Everything she had to live on. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury. The treasury is the offering box. And saw how the people put money into the treasury. And I want you to notice, he was watching how they did it. He was watching their facial expression. And he could read not only the outside, but you're talking about Jesus here. He was reading what was going on in their mind as they're walking up. And he's watching them reach and put in. How did he know that she gave everything and someone else didn't? It didn't say he was asking them, how much you make a year? And I don't ask that here, and I'm not going to, and the church isn't going to ask that. That's between you and God. But see, as he is watching you, he's watching the attitude of the heart. He knew how much they were putting in because he knew how much they'd made, and he knew how much that widow had made. And today, when you make a commitment to the Lord, you should give according to your ability. And there are times that he impresses upon your heart a sacrificial offering. This one poor widow came in and threw in two small coins. Jesus knew those two small coins were everything she had. Someone else could have thrown in two coins. Jesus knows the difference. Who cares what the people counting the money think about what you're putting in? I'm telling you, they don't even care. What I want you to get is a principle here. Jesus cares about your heart because he's waiting for the one who does it with the right heart, and he can go, whoo, here's what I want to do. Why? Because you're coming with the right heart here, and when you come with the right heart, then I'm going to be able to extend my blessing over a whole nation. See, if we're talking about being essential, we got to start with the tithe and offering. Just that simple. We have had here in this church two opportunities for sacrificial giving. I don't know if you were here or remember this, but I just looked it up today because as I was preaching on this, I thought, there will be opportunities for you to give sacrificial offerings. And it's not always right here. But it has to also be right here. There are times a young person needs given something to help them move into their relationship with God. There are times that God will open your eyes to a vision, a ministry, or something that you need to give into. And there are other times that he says, nope, that's not enough. And I'm not playing God. What I'm doing is I'm telling you, you have to hear from God. On a sacrificial offering, you have to hear from God. Both the times I set up with the church a month ahead of time, and I said, okay, on this date, we're going to receive a sacrificial offering. Where you were sitting at right here was one of the days that we received a sacrificial offering, and that was September 18th of 2011. Was anybody here that day? Raise your hand if you were. Okay, real high. Raise your hand real high. I want you to look around. Just kind of, you can maybe count. Hey. That's a very small amount of people, but there's a few. So September 18th, 2011, we came up here and we met. We had, through some seed pots, we had built enough finances to pour a slab. I don't know if anybody remembers this, but we came up here on the slab, and right up here at the front, we had some seed pots. Not tithe baskets. We had seed pots, And we said, I want you to pray, a month before that, I want you to pray about what God would lay on your heart. But this church collectively will receive a sacrificial offering. Now, you saw how many hands just were raised. And if you look at all the people that just raised your hands, you're probably not going to go, well, I know why this church was built, because look at the money those people. Nobody looks at any of the people that were raising their hand and goes, yep, those are multimillionaires right there. No, nobody looks at them and says that, and they may be, and we don't know it. September 18th, 2011, in one offering, this church put in $72,000. And you're sitting right now in a gym that $72,000 represents. Jump forward to May 22nd, 2016, the second time. We said it's an opportunity for a sacrificial offering. And in one Sunday, we said, we're going to go out here in this foyer, although it wasn't a foyer, it was dirt. And we had drawn out where everything was in lines. I don't know if anybody remembers this. How many were there in 2016? Oh, wow, a lot more hands. Still only half of what's here today. So we go out there and we walk around and we're praying over what's going on. And that day, with that many people, $84,000, and we built a foyer. Now, here's what I can tell you. God had just impressed upon my heart two different times in the history of Christian Ministries Church to give our people an opportunity for a sacrificial offering. You might be going, okay, he's getting ready to do it again. No, that's not at all what this message is about, and I'm not getting ready to say, okay, we're going to have another one. It would have been a good time for that, but that wasn't the case. What I want to tell you about that, both of my kids were watching as that took place. And we walked up as a family, and they knew what we and as our family were doing, and they knew it was a sacrifice. We didn't buy something that we could have bought because we were sacrificing something for something greater. But God called a specific number into our family. We prayed about it, and we walked up as a family, and we made a sacrificial offering. And I'm telling you, right after that, I can look back and I can show you where God did something supernatural. I want to challenge you. Ask God where your next sacrificial offering needs to go. Maybe it's in a seed pot. Maybe it's somewhere else with someone's life. I don't know. But that's a God decision. And when your kids, both of my kids, saw that, I have watched the blessing of God open out side of finances. Both of my kids love God. They serve God. And all of my families would tell them and tell you that he's worth it. God wants to bless you in more ways than just money. You've got to hear this. But why not just allow the first fruits to get it started that way? Not with money, but the opening of windows. The opening up of things that you can't even contain. Let me just tell you, I can contain money. So if he's going to open windows and pour out on you such that you can't contain, there, not one person in here would say, go ahead, try me. Try me, God. Because he already said, try me in this, that I won't open it up and pour it out. Pour it to where you can't contain it. Now here's the thing. I don't know anybody who has too much money that they can't contain it. So he has to be talking about something bigger. 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 I want you to know I believe that we are the most like God when we understand the concept of giving. That's when we're the most like God. So church today, in this message, tithe to your local church. Give offerings above your tithe. And ask God when and where he would have you prepare for your next sacrificial offering. I want to have our worship team, or not worship team, but our prayer team come on up. And what we're going to do is I'm going to say a word of prayer, and we're going to close the service. But I want Shelby to continue to just play, and our prayer team will be up front. This may be something you go, okay, well, this was an awkward time. We're talking about tithe and offering. And if I come up, everybody's going to think I haven't been giving. The message that I have given this morning, let me finish it with this. I thank God that we have a church full of givers. And there is not one person in here that I look at and go, this message was for you because I know you're not tithing. I do not look at who is tithing and who is not. Because it's not a benefit to me or the church. You, however, need to know what you're giving and doing. And as you got your financial statement at the end of the year, just compare it. Have I given what God, let me ask, have I paid my tithe? And then you might even ask, how much did I give over the tithe? And if you've never been a tither, then just today, it's as simple as this. Start. Not for me, for you. If you're not someone who's ever given above your tithe, then start. If you've never given to the point that it hurts, ask God this morning, what do I need to do here? Where do I need to, what is it? I want to encourage you this week, step out and do something different as the Holy Spirit leads. Not as pastors demanding or commanding, because I'm not. But God said, don't rob me. Don't rob me, because I want to bless you. That's his heart. He wants to bless you. He doesn't want to be all legalistic on you. He wants to bless you. So allow him to do what he wants the same way I allowed Darren to pay for my meal. And prayerfully, people will allow me to pay for theirs at times. And the way that we allow justice to pay for it. See, there's a blessing in giving, and it makes you understand the heart of God. Not because you're looking for a big paycheck after you do it, but because you want to pour out a blessing on people. Thank you today for being lovers of people. Michelle and I love you. Thank you for being givers. Not for our benefit, not for the church's benefit, but so that the word of God can go out and accomplish a great purpose.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.